Hello and welcome to Build Your Confidence with Horses and Riding, Winning the Mental Game. This is class number 3. Comfort zone. How to expand your comfort zone without freaking out. And that's what we'll be looking at this week. Last week, we looked at the mind-body connection and how an anxious mind just cannot exist in a relaxed body. You learned some exercises for releasing tension from your body, which is especially important if you're chronically anxious. And one of the things we looked at was the power pose and the grounding exercise, the body scan. You identified some of the types of distorted thinking you may be using and ways to change them, and that your mind can only focus on one thought at a time. So we had you making notes of the types of thoughts and self-talk you have and looking at ways to stop them and flip them. So I hope you've been practicing these techniques and becoming more aware of your thoughts and where you hold tension in your body, because nothing changes until you do. It's a process to build your confidence, and it takes time. And the things that make you successful are the things that you do every day. Rituals that you do every day produce your results. So if you've been finding that you're doing feeling some resistance to practicing some of these techniques you've learned over the last couple of weeks, it's important to remember that change feels uncomfortable, even if you're trying to make a positive change. You'll be dealing with resistance if you're looking for reasons why something won't work instead of asking how you can make it happen. You'll be dealing with resistance if you're making excuses so you won't have to deal with the disappointment if it doesn't work out like you planned. And you're dealing with resistance if you're allowing your mind to stay cluttered so you won't have to make any decisions. So if you're feeling resistance or perhaps being a little stubborn about implementing some of these techniques that you're learning, just recognize that the resistance is to that discomfort that you feel through change. It's a natural tendency. And again, once you're aware of it, you can take steps to change that. So here's some tips for how to break through resistance. Acknowledge that you're being resistant and make a decision to be open to new ideas. Ask for what you need. What insights or information do you need right now that would be helpful to you? Create a clear picture of the shift that's possible once you let go of the resistance. What is it you're trying to achieve? What do you see yourself doing once you release resistance and are able to work through these exercises and build your confidence? What will you be doing with your horse? What will you be enjoying? And finally, create a supportive environment. What would make it safe for you to stop resisting? Change is uncomfortable, but that discomfort is only temporary, and the reward is so worth it. I can tell you that from my own experience. So in this module, we're looking at expanding your comfort zone safely. And what you'll be learning is about the fear arousal scale, so that you can define your personal comfort and learning zones and come up with a common language to help the people that you're riding with, your coach or your riding companions, understand how you're feeling at any given moment. We'll be looking at how to analyze your potential risk, minimize that risk, and understand your risk tolerance. And helping you see that sometimes feeling anxious or slightly nervous is actually a good thing, and you shouldn't be afraid of that. So the fear arousal scale is comprised of your comfort zone, your learning zone, and your anxiety zone. So we're going to start with the comfort zone. If we're looking at a scale of 1 to 10 for the whole fear arousal scale, the comfort zone can be set between 1 and 4. There's no learning going on here. It's a place of safety, of security, and recuperation. So it's a place you want to start and end in, and a place you want to return to when you're starting to become overly anxious and overwhelmed. Once you move out of your comfort zone and you start to feel slightly anxious, but you're still in control of your physical and mental states, you're in your learning zone. This is where growth happens, where you're stretching yourself. And it should be mild anxiety or excitement because doing something new can be exciting. It doesn't have to be scary, but you'll feel the same symptoms. In this zone, you're still able to manage your physical symptoms, your breathing, and your thoughts. So you're aware of what's going on around you, even though you're feeling that bit of stress. Once you leave that zone, this is your danger zone. When you're becoming overwhelmed, you're shutting down physically and mentally. You stop taking in external information. And this is when it's time to notice that you need to return to your learning or comfort zone where you can regroup, where you can recuperate. So you need to develop awareness for when you're leaving one zone and entering another. Remembering that mild anxiety or nervousness is excitement, it's learning, it's growth, it's when you're stretching yourself. But too much anxiety, where you start to become overwhelmed, can lead to panic. So we don't want to spend too much time in that anxiety zone. So talk with your coach or your riding companions or both about your comfort, learning, and anxiety zones and use the scale as a way to verbalize how you're feeling so you have a clear avenue of communication with them. As long as you're aware and taking in external information, you're okay and you can manage your symptoms. You can remember to breathe deeply, your calm, focused breath. You can stop your negative thoughts or reframe them, and you can release tension from your body. You want to move between your learning and your comfort zone several times in a session when you're working with your horse, depending on how you're feeling. You want to start and end in your comfort zone. And you want to return to your learning or comfort zone when you're getting overwhelmed to allow time for rest and recovery. Once you accept your limits, you are able to go beyond them. And acceptance is a big part of dealing with resistance. So knowing where your comfort zone and your learning zone and your anxiety zones are takes pressure off you. And you can accept where you are now. You don't want to listen to anyone, including yourself, who says you should be doing something. Acceptance is not resignation, it's not failure, and it's not agreement with where you are now. It's simply telling the truth and allowing things to be as they are. So by accepting ourselves, by accepting others, and by accepting life in general as it is, you can create a real sense of peace and let go of much of your suffering and resistance. And it's resistance that causes the suffering, that causes that discomfort, that causes the stress. It gives you, by accepting, you gain a greater sense of appreciation of how things are. You can stay in the moment more easily and get out of that past and future thinking. You're better able to create the kind of outcomes you truly want. So make a list in your journal of some of the things that are causing you the most stress, pain, or anxiety. And ask yourself if you're willing to accept them as they are now. And remember, this is not giving up. This is just agreeing to recognize that things are as they are. You don't have to like it, you don't have to agree with it. And you don't have to want them to stay this way. But if you can start to accept these things and situations in a genuine way, your ability to be at peace with them and to ultimately change them in a positive way will be significantly enhanced. It's the non-acceptance that creates resistance, and it's resistance that causes pain and suffering. So we're going to do a little exercise for you to identify your fear arousal levels. And we're just going to take a few minutes to do this in this module. You can spend more time on it on your own in taking some quiet time and writing in your journal. So first of all, we want to identify your comfort zone. So I'd like you to take a moment and just list a couple of activities, or describe the activities that you're comfortable doing, where you have absolutely no anxiety at all. So just take out your journal or a piece of paper and jot down or describe the activities that you're comfortable doing. Just take the time to do one or two. And these are the things you want to return to when you need to de-stress, when you need to regroup. You could also do the same for your horse because he's also got the same comfort learning and anxiety zones. And when you know where his comfort zone is, if he's gotten too stressed, you can bring him back to his comfort zone. Next, make a note about the point at which you feel mild nervousness or excitement. So this is when you're entering your learning zone and you're stretching yourself a bit. It might be something you're a little bit uncomfortable doing. It might be a new activity. So we talked about paying attention to these physical symptoms in the first class. So just describe the activities or events, the points at which you start to feel that initial nervousness or excitement. And describe the physical symptoms that you feel as soon as you're leaving your comfort zone. And describe the thoughts and self-talk you have as soon as you leave your comfort zone. And finally, write down the moment where you start to feel overwhelmed. List the activities where you disconnect, where you shut down, where you stop taking in external information. This is your anxiety zone. And this is the point where you need to go back to your learning or your comfort zone so that you don't get overwhelmed, that you don't get into that cycle where you can't get out of it. So as soon as you've noticed those physical symptoms increasing, where you can't focus, where you're not taking in external information, you want to stop what you're doing and go back to your comfort zone if you have to, and spend some time there until you can calm yourself again. And again, it's the same for your horse. With horses, research has indicated that it takes about 30 minutes for a horse who's become overwhelmed to truly relax. So just to recap, you can do this again, sit down and take some more time to do this on your own in some quiet time, but you're going to list and describe the activities you're comfortable doing where you have no anxiety at all. That's your comfort zone. You're going to note the point at which you feel mild nervousness or excitement and describe these activities or events or situations. This is where you've entered your learning zone. It will help if you describe the physical symptoms that you feel as soon as you leave your comfort zone and describe the thoughts and the self-talk you have as soon as you leave your comfort zone. And then finally, spend some time writing down that moment, that situation, that event that triggers you where you start to feel overwhelmed. and list the activities where you disconnect, you shut down, you stop taking in external information, and that's your anxiety zone. When you use your journal to track your progress by writing down your experiences and using these terms to describe different points of your experience, then you'll notice that the zones are not static and they'll change depending on how you're feeling physically and emotionally on any particular day or at any given moment. They're also affected by the level of stress in other areas of your life. So these may change, and by tracking them through your journal, you'll see what affects you. So your comfort zone's a nice place to visit, but you don't want to live there. Because staying in your comfort zone means stagnation. It's boring. There's no learning and there's no growth. It's a necessary place to visit for rest and recovery, to regroup. And you do want to start and end all your activities there and return to it as much as you need to, whenever you need to, when you're learning new skills or trying activities that scare you a bit. Just don't get stuck there. That's just a recipe for misery. So I'm going to share four tips for safely expanding your comfort zone. First one is to build a support team. Having just one person, you can have more, but having at least one person who you can trust and who has your back. This person supports you. They encourage you and gently push you when you need a push, and they know when you need a push, they know when to push, but they do it without making you feel bad. They don't judge you. If you're having a bad day, that's okay. And you can safely express yourself and vent with these people. Remember that your beliefs keep you stuck, and you need to examine their validity and usefulness. We talked about this in the second class, and it's something you need to do continually. Don't just do it once. In a few weeks or a few months, you may find you need to do this again. Challenge the beliefs that are no longer serving you. So if you have the belief that you're not good enough, ask, what would it look like if I was good enough? What is good enough? What's the definition of good enough? If one of your beliefs is that I'm too old, then find examples of people that are older than you who do what you're doing or would like to be doing. And if they aren't too old, how can you be? And another example is, I don't have enough time. So ask yourself, is this true, or am I just not making it a priority right now? And if I'm not making it a priority, why aren't I? Is it really that important to me? The third one is to reframe your thinking. And again, we looked at this last class. So you want to focus on your small successes rather than looking for the big breakthroughs. You should write down something positive from each day, from each activity with your horse. And review these regularly, but especially when you're struggling and feeling down. And this is why it's great to have a journal, to have something to go back to. I flip through my journal sometimes when I'm having a bad day and just see how far you've come. And finally, this is the one we'll be focusing on more today, is to practice positive visualization. You already know how to visualize and you use it. I know you do it because we all do it. The problem is that we spend more time focusing on the negative instead of on the positive. How often do you replay that bad ride or the one mistake or the one thing that didn't go as you wanted it to do? We tend to have a lot more negative thoughts than positive ones. So this takes some practice and some effort on our parts to change. So we're just going to flip that so that we spend more time focusing on the positive outcomes. So practice finding at least one positive thing from each activity or ride with your horse and make that the biggest thing in your mind. Use all of your senses. How did you feel physically? What did you hear? What did you see? What did you smell? What did you feel? Even what did you taste in some cases? What emotional state were you in? Bring all of that back into your memory and replay that like a videotape. It's important to recognize that with visualization, your brain does not know the difference between a real or an imagined experience. And this is why pro athletes use this method to see themselves performing at their best. And you gotta believe, you gotta know, those Olympic athletes are picturing themselves winning. They're picturing themselves on the podium. They use this. If it's good enough for pro athletes, for Olympic level athletes, it's good enough for us. For the most benefit, you need to use all of your senses and feel the emotions you want to have, or if you're repeating an experience, the emotions you did have. And you need to see it as if you're doing it. So if it's visualizing a ride, then you want to see it from the perspective of sitting on your horse's back. Or if it's something you're doing from the ground with the horse, and you're picturing it as if you're looking at your horse and seeing what's around you. So we're going to do this this visualization. So I'd like you to sit comfortably and close your eyes. Just breathe naturally and imagine yourself sitting on your horse. What color is he? Is his mane long and flowing, short and neat, or braided? See yourself looking out on a beautiful open meadow. It's full of yellow buttercups and white daisies and purple clover. Butterflies float and bees buzz amongst the flowers. You hear the birds singing from the woods up ahead. The sun is high in a clear blue sky, and a light breeze blows gently across your face. You feel the leather of the reins in your hands. As you walk forwards towards the woods, you inhale deeply. The scent of the pine trees penetrates your nose. You hear the long grass moving as your horse's feet step forward in a comfortable walking pace. As you enter the woods, you see the beautiful patterns created by the dappled shadows. You hear the crunching of pine needles and small twigs under your horse's feet. You lean forwards towards his neck as you go under a low-hanging branch. You inhale that wonderful horsey scent and feel the tickle of his mane on your face and the softness of his hair under your hands. You feel balanced and secure in the saddle. You see your horse's ears move in the direction of a crow calling from somewhere behind you, and then towards a red squirrel scolding you for intruding into his space. As the trail opens up, you sit up, feeling your seat bones plugged into your saddle. The trail begins a gentle incline, and the ground changes from sandy to rocky. The rocks are large and easy to navigate. You feel your horse's feet stepping firmly and carefully, carrying you safely up the hill. You inhale deeply as you hold on to your horse's mane and feel your legs dropping down and around his barrel. You're moving as one together. Now the trail goes gently downhill. You sit up tall and allow your horse to carry you safely to the bottom. As the trail levels out, the rocks are gone and the path is open and wide. It invites you to pick up a gentle trot. Your horse responds willingly to your quiet aids, and you float along together at a comfortable pace. You smile and enjoy this feeling of freedom. As you return to the walk, you approach a small creek that gently ripples and bubbles over pebbles. You hear the splash and feel your horse's feet sink slightly into the soft mud as he crosses the water. You stop for a moment, allowing him to lower his head for a drink of the cool, sparkling water. Your hands open slightly to release the reins, and you feel them going through your fingers. You hear your horse eagerly slurping the clear water. You take up your reins as your horse finishes drinking and raises his head, ready to continue your journey together. Walking forward towards the light at the edge of the woods and out into the meadow, you see the sun is now lower in the sky. You and your horse sigh deeply as you ride towards home. And when you're ready, open your eyes. So you can write your own script, record it, and listen to it in your own voice, which is also powerful to hear something in your own voice. It makes it more real to your brain. It doesn't have to be, though. You could record this one and just replay that. Or you can just do it silently and just replay the video mentally. But make sure you're sitting quiet and undisturbed. It's important to know and to recognize and accept that there is risk in riding horses and in just being around them. They're large, powerful, and fearful animals who react quickly to things we cannot see and cannot hear. We need to have a healthy respect for that and to be aware of what is happening with them, with ourselves, and in our environment around us. If what you truly want is to be with horses and to enjoy riding them, you must be willing to accept some level of risk. To be safe and build confidence, you can assess the true risk. So a risk analysis is simply your personal evaluation of what you feel is risky and the extent of risk you're willing to take, your risk tolerance. No one else could decide this for you. It's your choice. Knowing your risk tolerance helps you make rational decisions about your activities. Things like what you're willing to participate in. Could be shows, clinics, group rides, even the discipline of riding that you do. Where you're willing to ride. In an enclosed space, like an arena. On an open trail. In an open field, through the bush. Who you're willing to ride with. I know a woman who enjoys trail riding, but struggled and was losing her confidence because the woman who led the trail rides she used to go on was an eventer, and she was very brave, and she didn't understand the level of fear that this other woman I know was having and how it was affecting her confidence. So what my friend did was stop riding with that particular woman, and she found another group of women who just enjoy nice, sedate walks and trots through on the trails, and it's more of a social activity, and they're more at her level of comfort and confidence, and she's really enjoying that, and her confidence has grown. Other parts of your risk tolerance will affect when you'll ride. So certain weather conditions or footing conditions, it could be how you're feeling that day or how your horse is behaving. And it can even affect which horse you'll ride if you have a choice of more than one horse. So factors that affect your risk tolerance are your own health and physical condition, your skill and your experience level, your comfort and learning zones, your horse's level of training and his temperament, and your horse's comfort and learning zones. And as I said earlier, these may change from day to day, and they will change as your comfort zone expands. You can minimize risk, and here are some ways that you can do that. You want to look at, is your horse the right one for you or right for the activity that you want to do? Does he need more training and experience in that activity, or do you? Do you have the right safety equipment? Helmets should be replaced every 5 years and after a fall, and a safety vest might give you a greater sense of protection. There's different styles. There's the Tipperary, which is sort of a styrofoam-filled, bulkier type of vest that a lot of eventers used to wear. But they're switching now to an airbag style vest, and actually a lot of jockeys are as well. They're good body protectors. And I had a client who has a 16.3, almost 17 hand thoroughbred that she had fallen off at the canter and had been quite badly bruised and was quite sore. Took her a few weeks to completely heal from that. So she did invest in an airbag type vest, a HIT. It's called a HIT Air. And a few weeks later, after getting that vest, she did come off. Now these vests, they attach with a cord to your saddle, so when you get thrown off or when you fall off, it pulls the cord and they inflate. So before you hit the ground, you've got these airbags. And on that fall, she was ready to get right back on her horse. She had no bruising and was not shaken up. So it really has increased her confidence a lot having that particular bit of equipment. Other ways to minimize your risk are to look at your tack. Is the right tack for the activity you're doing? Does it fit you and your horse so that you're both comfortable and not having any pain? It's no point having a saddle that fits your horse well but doesn't fit you, and vice versa. You also want to make sure it's in good condition. You want to check the stitching, the stuffing on English saddles, and the fleece on Western saddles. You want to check the bits and the stirrups are in good condition. I had an experience many years ago when I was teaching at a riding school. I got on one of the school horses in a lesson because he was misbehaving, and the bit broke while I was riding. So it's a good thing it happened with me and not with a student. I've also experienced an iron, stirrup iron breaking in a horse show, landing after a jump, and all of a sudden I felt there was nothing under my right foot. I thought the leather had broken, and when I looked and pulled it up, the stirrup iron had actually broken. That's pretty unusual, but again, you just want to check for weak spots on anything you have that is metal when some bits are rubber. You also want to make sure with rubber bits or happy mouth bits that the horses haven't worn them, so there's sharp pieces that can be bothersome to the horse. And you really want to check your stitching on your girth, elastic on the leather girths for English saddles as well can wear and give way. I had an experience with a client's horse who, in an English saddle, we weren't aware that it had worn, and there was a bit of a nail pushing into his back, which didn't become a real problem until this client was out on a trail ride. They went the wrong way on the trail, went down a steep hill instead of up it, and as they went down, we think this nail pushed into the horse's back and caused him to bolt because he was normally a very quiet horse, and that was a very unusual behavior for him. And finally, even your clothing can affect how you feel. So make sure it's comfortable and it's appropriate for the weather and it's appropriate for what you're doing. That it's not slippy. Some of the riding tights that they sell now that can be quite comfortable might be slippy on your saddle. So that might not be the best thing for going out on a trail ride, especially if you're going up and down hills. So take that into consideration as well. And you can analyze the potential risk. So before participating in any event that you're a little bit worried about, then consider the potential hazards or the challenges that you might come across. Assess the potential impact of these hazards or challenges. How damaging would they be for your mental or your physical safety? How damaging would they be for your horse's mental or physical safety? Be realistic when you do this and avoid catastrophizing or polarizing thoughts. We talked about those in module 2. So remember to ask, is it true as you're doing your analysis? And finally, decide what actions you can take to reduce or eliminate these risks and then take them. There's no point coming up with a plan if you don't implement it. So, for example, if you were going out on a trail ride, you might want to consider how spooky or calm your horse is that day. What are the weather and footing conditions like? Are there any chances of meeting wildlife or snowmobiles or mountain bikers or anything like that along the trail? What are the people and the horses they're riding going to be like? Are they going to support you or overwhelm you? If you get nervous and need to slow down, are they going to be willing to do that? If you need to turn around, are they going to be willing to cut the ride short? I had an experience several years ago when I had a thoroughbred mare that I showed in the hunters, and I went out on a charity ride with the hunt club. We left from, and because I'm an experienced rider, I went with the advanced group. Well, we left the hunt club at a flat out gallop, and they didn't slow down for quite a while. And we were going over some pretty rough terrain, rough for me and my mare, who didn't do a lot of that kind of riding at the time. So at one point, my mare was getting quite stressed and overexcited. And when there was an opportunity, I stopped, dismounted, told the group I was leaving, and I walked on the road. I walked my mare home from the ground for this, for her sake. Something else you might want to consider is your riding abilities, your riding abilities in relation to the terrain you'll be riding on, and also your horse's experience on that type of terrain, as I considered for my own mare, and you and your horse's fitness level in relation to the length and the difficulty of the ride. So an example of expanding your comfort zone, say from going to the arena to out on a trail, the client I was talking about earlier about the saddle that had the nail sticking through and caused the horse to bolt. After that incident, her comfort zone was a fenced arena. That was low risk, and that was where she worked for quite a while. Going out into an open field or onto a trail was high risk, and even the thought of doing that would cause her anxiety. Going into a larger area, I have about a 5 acre hay field that is enclosed. That was a medium risk area. So we were able to work with her to go from the low risk fenced riding ring to the medium risk fenced hay field, and then eventually into the high risk open field. And the steps to take to identify your, or sorry, the steps to take to expand your comfort zone are to identify potential hazards, such as uneven footing, unexpected obstacles, branches that might touch your horse or you and cause either one of you to panic, going up hills and down hills, wildlife you might encounter, unfamiliar sounds you might hear. So then you would assess the potential impact of each of those challenges. So your horse may trip on uneven footing if he's used to only being in a very well-groomed riding ring. He might spook at branches, or at wildlife, or at unfamiliar sounds. Or you may have difficulty balancing going up and down steep hills if you don't have a very secure seat. So actions you could take to reduce or eliminate these risks would be things like practicing slowing down and doing down transitions in the arena, introducing unfamiliar things like branches and small obstacles from the ground first and then while riding. And this would be done in your arena and slowly, gradually, so as not to overwhelm you or your horse. Another idea is to explore the trail on foot with or without your horse, and to mark potential problem areas so you know what to avoid, finding another route around them. You could remove debris that's on the trail that might be a problem. In your comfortable area, your low risk area, you could be play recordings of unfamiliar sounds, or you could have someone help you out and make some unfamiliar sounds. Again, being careful not to overwhelm you or your horse, and you could start from the ground and then do it in the saddle. You could have someone you trust ride your horse on the trail first, and you might even want to walk along with them just to see how your horse reacts. And even wearing that extra protective equipment, like a protective vest, might give you some level of comfort. You also want to allow, plan for yourself some rest and recovery time. Because expanding your comfort zone means you're going to be feeling some stress. And feeling stress drains your energy. So you need time to recover by some relaxation, some quiet time, some recuperation time. The more stress you feel, the more recovery time you need. So some ways to do this, there are lots, and you'll find, just find what works best for you. But keeping a success list in your journal and adding to it once a day and any time something positive happens, any little thing you did to keep you moving forward, no matter how small. So, for example, if you want to show and you're very nervous about showing, just checking out some show dates and marking those in your calendar, maybe printing out the entry forms, those would be little steps. Keeping a feel-good list. Again, using your journal, write down everything that happened that made you feel good about being with or riding your horse that day. And you want to capture the emotion. So, for example, my horse snickered when I went in the barn today. I felt all warm and fuzzy. Or if you're working on just being familiar with horses or have had difficulty picking up horses' feet, then perhaps I picked up Daisy's foot today. Woohoo! Yay me! Give yourself an imaginary or a real gold star. Go ahead. Get some gold stars and stickers and stick them in your journal. Have fun with it. Celebrate in some small way. And the third one is to set aside me time every day. And this is something that especially women who are caregivers neglect. You're always looking after everybody else, whether that's family or your animals or both. So take some time. Just get up half an hour before everybody else in the house so that you have some quiet time to read or to meditate, do some yoga, or just enjoy a cup of tea or coffee on your own. For some people, taking a bubble bath and just putting out the do not disturb sign for 20 minutes or half an hour is a good way to relax. Or going out for a walk in nature. Or perhaps meeting a friend for coffee or for lunch, which is especially beneficial if you have the type of lifestyle where you don't have a lot of social interaction. And it's away from the barn. But you must schedule time or it won't happen. So I want you to create an action plan. I want you to write down one thing that you would like to do that you're currently fearful or not confident about doing. And write down the smallest step you could take towards that goal. So take a moment now and think about one thing you'd like to do or something that you're currently fearful about doing. And then what is the smallest step you could take towards that goal? Remember that any forward movement is positive and deserves to be celebrated. And this is something we'll be spending more time on in the next class. Next, write down a positive horse or riding related experience and be very detailed. Use all five senses and include the emotions you felt so that you can reread and visualize this experience often and relive it. Third, write down what resources you can use to help you on your journey. These could be taking lessons, going to clinics, getting counseling, taking time for some self-care, like getting a massage, going to a chiropractor, taking a yoga class. Are there books or DVDs that you could access and then make the time to actually read or watch? Fourth, list at least one person who is or could be on your support team. And then write down when you'll contact that person and talk about what you need from them. And fifth, schedule rest and recovery time, your me time. You need and deserve time to rejuvenate and reward yourself. So if it's a couple of times a week, that's better than nothing. If it can be a little bit of time each day, 20 minutes or half an hour, that's even better. So your zone, when you know where your comfort and learning zones are, you want to share this with your coach or the people you ride with or both. You need to practice positive visualization because it builds your confidence muscle and helps keep a positive mindset, which is so important. You need to know your personal risk for tolerance. Don't let anyone else define this for you or tell you what it should be or what you should be doing. Don't even do that to yourself. Accept where you are and work from that place forward. Remember, acceptance reduces resistance. Create an action plan. Planning baby steps you can take towards your goal and ways to minimize or eliminate risk. And finally, schedule some time for you. Rest and relaxation time allows you to recover the energy you need to stretch your comfort zone as you learn and grow. Next week, Module 4, we'll be looking at setting goals and letting go of expectations. We'll be looking at understanding how you learn so you can set and achieve SMART goals that work for you. So I look forward to seeing you again in the next module. And in the meantime, remember to enjoy your journey.